Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 23rd of November, recording at 9:32 p.m. That's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. In stock markets, starting in Asia, markets were mostly firm. A few small declines, but to say mostly on the upside, with China to the fore once again. European stock markets had clear upward dynamics, gains that on average were over 2% for the indices. And Wall Street put in a solid performance as well, closing off the highs, but with solid gains. 1.36%, for instance, for the S&P, the Dow a fraction lower, the NASDAQ composite a fraction higher. Elsewhere, long-dated government bonds, a quiet day. Prices slightly steadier in the USA, slightly weaker in Europe. The US dollar was weaker, but off its lows on the day. And for instance, we saw the euro get up to 1.4999. Before coming back to 1.4958. And the dollar index, well, it closed at 75.113, or that's where it's trading right now. It had been down and down a little bit below the 74 level. Now, precious metals were very strong in the morning, then gave up some of those gains, and actually over half the gains for some of these active commodities. For instance, silver first month position, it got up to 1893.5, and I think that would have been a new high, and then closed at 18.59 and a half. So well off the high, and we saw a similar move in platinum, which got up to 1480 at the high, but the first month position then closing $19 lower at 1461. But that was, again, that was still up $19 in its own right. And gold was one of the few to hold over half of its gains, currently trading at 11,065.5, but it had been up to 11,074. And we saw similar actions in the industrial metals coming back off the highs, as copper did. Copper having surged up to a new recovery high of 320, closing just under 315. In here, and we also saw similar action in the grain and bean complex, strong early gains, but giving them up later in the day. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, the first thing is, as far as stock markets are concerned, in Europe we had some upward dynamics, and that's probably important because we'd seen markets drifting lower. You remember what happened? They rallied up to their October highs. And that was a good little run. Then we saw the rally stall there early last week, and saw prices just slip back a little bit. Nothing too much in the way of downward dynamics. I should say very little in the way of downward dynamics. And today, again, some clear evidence of renewed demand, retracing a significant portion of the lows. And it's a story of China leading with, I believe, a new recovery high. Not a new recovery high, but a new high of this rally following the reversion to the mean in terms of its 200-day moving average. But China has not taken out its July high yet, but it's got lots of support underneath, and it has been pushing upwards steadily recently. That's the point I'm really trying to make overall. And when we look around the world, that strong indices, for instance, the Swedish index, which may not be one that you look at every day, but it's been the pace setter in developed Europe and remains so. It's closed within a small fraction of its recovery high so far. So the evidence clearly is of bull market activity. And I don't think there are any exceptions to that, except that we could point to some stock markets that are underperforming. They are mostly in North Africa or the Middle East. These are classic laggards, late in the cycle movers. And some of the more troubled Eastern European markets, we could also point to Ireland, which has underperformed within the Eurozone. But the heavyweights, the ones that we really need to focus on, I've mentioned and wrote up on Friday again about the leash effects. Take Wall Street, solid action in here today, not far away from its highs. You know, it wasn't long ago that people were talking about, could the Dow hold 10,000? Well, tonight it closed at 10,450. And then people were talking about, well, could the Dow, I beg your pardon, could the S&P, maintain a move to 1,000? Well, it's at 1,106 after tonight's close. So in terms of that leash effect, Wall Street, helped, as I've said before, by the soft dollar, has been favorable. That's a tailwind for other global stock markets, and so is China. Those are by far the two most influential markets going. And leading sectors, Fuller Money Themes, again doing well. The miners are all quite steady. The technology is quite steady overall. We know in terms of the background that monetary policy remains super uber accommodative, and I don't think that's going to change significantly anytime soon. And where interest rates have gone up a little bit, as in Australia, 50 basis points off their lows, but rates are still near multi-year lows rather than any kind of level that would provide a strong headwind for the stock markets. Now, currencies have been a big concern recently, but we've got a lull in activity generally, and we've got a ranging dollar rather than a trending lower dollar. Now, I should put that in perspective. I should say that the dollar's trend, its medium-term trend, is still downwards. And some would also argue that its very long-term trend is also downwards. I wouldn't disagree with that. But for practical purposes, let's deal with the short to medium-term trends. The medium-term, as I've just said, is trend for the dollar is still downwards. But it has lost downward momentum recently, so the short-term trend is actually sideways. And when the dollar was weaker this morning, I think the commodity markets, looking at the strength of stock markets and the weak dollar, said, here we go again. And we had a flood of money coming in. But the commodities gave up some of those gains, still gains for the most part, but gave up part of those moves as the dollar came back from its highs of the morning and extended the sideways ranging activity. Don't be surprised if we see a little more of that, but I don't see the type of dynamics and erosion of support that would suggest to me that the currencies were going to fall significantly versus the greenback, or to put it the other way around. I don't see the technical evidence yet to suggest that the dollar will stage a significant rally. I don't see the fear factor to cause the dollar to stage a significant rally. I think that fear factor would come in the form of a big sell-off in stock markets, but that does not appear on the cards against this background of monetary accommodation. There's still plenty of wall of worry around. I take that as a contrary indicator and a fairly positive sign generally. Looking at the overall charts for precious metals, these are consolidating gains in a quite steady fashion. They had a good day on Friday. They had a good day today. So maybe they come off a little bit tomorrow. I'm not sure. But the overall action is really quite steady. And within, of course, these good upward trends. Gold, it's amazing, but gold is right on track, conforming to a pattern that we saw in September, from September 2005 onwards, from September 2005 into May of 2006, and a pattern that we saw from September 2007 through to March 2008, where we had the breakouts from the big 18-month trading range consolidations, and markets just pushed higher, precious metals, that is, pushed higher against that background for the better part of two quarters or more. And they're unfolding in a similar fashion. We had the breakout, a decisive breakout in September. We had decent follow-through in October. We're having decent follow-through here this month. There's nothing not to like about the chart overall. On a very short-term basis, are we a little bit technically overbought in the precious metals? Sure. You see that in the stochastics charts. But all that suggests to me is that one ought to be nibbling on weakness and maybe letting a little go in terms, or taking a few profits, by no means all of them, but a few profits on the better rallies. And industrial metals, they have been prone to larger ranging patterns for the most part, but again, in overall upward trends, it's good-looking activity. Now, crude oil, which had a sell-off last week, crude in this morning rallied up quite strongly, got up to 79.92, but gave up pretty much that whole gain and is currently trading at 77.56. That might have provided a little bit of a headwind for precious metals today as crude oil came back down, but it's good news generally for stock markets, energy sector excepted. So again, the crude oil chart, all the oil charts look bullish in terms of the probability that the next significant move will be upwards. But they're taking their time about it, and that's good news for the global economy. On the canary in the coal mine watch, and I'm mentioning this so often because I get so many investors who send an email saying, well, these people are talking about bubbles, and they're saying, well, the good days won't last. What's going to happen when accommodative easing ends? And of course the good days won't last. I mean, when did the good days ever last? That's not life, is it? That's reality. Markets are cyclical, and they move up when the monetary policy is accommodative for the most part, and they move down when it's more restrictive for the most part. And where that money is channeled in terms of which markets perform best is determined by sentiment, and there needs to be some decent fundamentals underpinning that sentiment. And the fundamentals that underpin most of the bullish sentiment in this environment are really Asia-related. So if you have a product that China needs, whether it's a commodity or something that's manufactured, that's probably in demand, and the companies that produce it are probably doing well among some of the global leaders in this type of environment. What else to mention here? Yes, so I was talking about the canaries in the coal mine. We don't see any trouble from long-dated interest rates, so that canary is singing away quite happily. The dollar is not in free fall, so again, another happy canary there. And the crude oil price is not spiking higher. Again, a contented canary. It's the crude oil that worries me more than anything else, because I think that the chances of crude oil spiking upwards to a terrifying level within the next year or two are considerably higher than the free fall in the US dollar, which most people expect. I think what will probably prevent the free fall in the dollar is the fact that the US economy will show some evidence of recovery, albeit belatedly, but more importantly, that in terms of these fiat currencies, it's kind of a race to the bottom generally, and the other countries cannot afford to have a dollar collapsing. The US doesn't want to have a collapsing dollar. There are plenty of other countries that have been involved in the accommodative easing and massive printing of their own currencies, and they aren't reserve currencies, but the fact that the dollar is a reserve currency helps it to stave off that collapse. So I think the dollar is going to collapse, and we're going to see hyperinflation is an outside possibility, but it's a little bit too much of a fringe gold bull argument for me at this stage. Yes, I do expect a higher inflation down the road at some point, but I've said that that inflation will be led by commodity prices, and I think we see the potential in the trends, and also by stock markets. It won't be led by wages or the prices of manufactured goods. And I think that's a wrap here for Monday, the 23rd of November. So, as I say so often, all the best to all of you.